If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 365. This is our 2025 3M Open Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting preview for the 3M Open. Paul has been in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have TPC Twin Cities strokes gained rankings, detailed form, event and combi sheets. Plus, of course, our new and old style predictor models for the 3M Open. All of our content is available completely free of charge at Golf Betting System. There is no paywall or registration required. On X, you can follow us. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Paul and I are also on Blue Sky. Just search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast. So we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I'll read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Keep them coming. 5 stars. This one is entitled A Beautiful Listen. Insightful and easy to listen to. I would describe listening to this podcast is like driving the green on a par 4, then 3-putting. Love the pod all the way from Victoria, British Columbia. That is Fried Chicken Pizza. And of course, he's in Western Canada. Thank you for your time, Fried Chicken Pizza.
What an analogy that is, eh?
Yeah. It's the perfect analogy for this week at the Open. You literally drive the green and then 3-putt.
Might be my favourite review ever, that.
It's quality, isn't it?
Very good.
Short, sweet, and to the point.
Yep.
I was watching Saturday, and they were, you know, all going up the first and the front nine, and I was like, oh, Henley's playing great. He's coming out from the pack. I've got Rose up there. Tyrrell Hatton's on the move. Things are starting to look good. Okay, Scott is going to win, but at least we're going to pack the places. And then Justin started like slashing it all over the golf course, so he started to drop away. But you still got, I've still had Hatton and Henley right in the mix on Sunday morning. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm positive here. Could get a couple of nice places. Might even with a little bit of a Scotty blip, as if might get a bit of a sweat on. Hold on. What about you two guys? I know Barry, you were on most of the same guys that I was on, apart from Henley, naturally, but you were on Hatton.
I had Hatton. Couldn't resist. I put a sneaky bet on Ricky Fowler. 12 places, so he posted a nice one early. I was thinking, oh, maybe. One shot outside the places. Mm-hmm. I had another long one on Christopher Reitan, and he was outside the top 12 going into Sunday, and there I am thinking, oh, Mr. Sunday special, like I'm absolutely guaranteed to get place money. Nope, that didn't happen either. So it's just, you know, like they all kind of flapped around. It didn't really happen. Hatton couldn't buy a putt for love nor money. So pretty much like that review. And
yeah,
any sort of chance at early interest, which, you know, everybody who wanted just a little bit of an engaging Sunday was hoping for at least a bit of a stumble at the opening hole. And Scheffler just says, nah, stuffs it into a foot after Haotong pops it in there and immediately just takes the wind out of the sails of probably the entire field and the broadcast. And even when he made the double, you're thinking, oh, maybe now, maybe. But straight away, bang, birdie.
Yeah.
So it just, any time there was just a flicker of hope for something more than a procession and spectacle of just elite golf. He just shut it down. He's truly incredible. I don't know how to. It's hard to put into words.
Mm. It was audible, the almost a sigh from the commentators when he made birdie on the first, because everyone had kind of built it up to be, well, if Scotty slips in any way, then there's a decent field there who, you know, could chase him down and we could have a really exciting open. And as you say, Haltung played a fantastic shot and he just trumps that. And then, yeah, the most exciting part of that front nine probably was when he made double, but yeah, bounces back from that and it was never going to be caught. He's just an unstoppable force when he's playing like that. And you can't take it away from him. Ultimately, he's just at an incredible level, which is far beyond anyone else when he's playing that kind of level of golf. He was described on the Facebook group on Friday or Saturday as a fun sponge, which I guess that's punters talking from their wallet rather than the, you know, the spectacle that it is when he's playing that kind of level of golf. But it could have been an incredibly interesting and exciting tournament, because the race for second place below that ebbed and flowed. There were lots of players who, you know, take Scotty away could have won that tournament. And yeah, ultimately just everyone had to bow down and accept that Scotty's just too good.
He'll be over the win by now, isn't it? He only gets the elation, was it, 15 minutes?
He was over the win by the time he got off the green, I think.
I kind of feel bad for him that he kind of trapped himself when he was just talking, because it seemed like he hadn't thought out, fully fleshed out the point before he talked about it. It feels like what he was trying to get at was, you work for so long, like, you know, years to kind of get to that level to win tournaments. But, you know, the flip side is that the win won't last years. You know, the enjoyment or the rush factor of winning won't be equal to the effort that's put in terms of time. And he just maybe said 2 minutes or a few minutes, you know, and of course then everybody just latches onto that.
Yeah.
Like you're never going to be able to celebrate a high for as long as you put the effort in. It's just not possible. So kind of felt a little bad from that he trapped himself there and that, but I don't know, like even the crowd was a little bit kind of like, oh God, he's just there's no chance of anything else but a Scotty win today. And at some stage we have to just be content with enjoying watching utter brilliance on the golf course.
The scary thing is, Barry, we could have had this conversation on Friday evening when he walked off 18 green. It was done.
Mm. I know.
And that's the thing, isn't it? He gets in position and you see the putters working. I mean, putter working. You listen to this. He was 104th for strokes gained putting at the Scottish, and I was slagging off his putting, of course. He was now, he ended up fifth for strokes gained putting at the Open. He was second of those that made the cut. The only better putter of those that made the cut was Harris English.
See, what we did wrong was not look at his first strokes gained tee to green in Scotland and then merge that with the fact that a lot of the pros are saying they didn't really like the greens there. Mm-hmm. And maybe Scotty, who doesn't like things that are unfair, if the greens are not really nice, he's not going to put that great or do that well. And we should have said, well, maybe when he goes to Royal Putt Rush, which has beautiful greens, he might putt better.
Mm.
It should have been an auto bet. 4-1, maybe. Was he 9-2 in places?
Oh, no, 5-1 on Monday morning. Quite a few with 5-1 up.
There was He went out longer than that. There was a very late, very, very late plunge on him where either punters had or were just holding back until you know, literally the tournament was about to start, or just until they got a feel of the what the conditions were going to be like. But before he'd started his round, there was he was being backed into the kind of back down to the 4-1 kind of numbers. But yeah, he looked pretty bereft on the greens in Scotland. But he did allude to the fact that they, as you said, Barry, were pretty bumpy, pretty uneven. He didn't get on with them, and he's come to a set of greens that he's thought, oh, these run nice. And then suddenly he's gaining, what, over 8 strokes putting on the greens there? Scotty only needs to putt neutrally, and he's generally in the mix every single week. So if he's gaining 8 strokes with a putter, good night.
Might as well not even bother turning out.
I think the reason we oppose him and try to find bets elsewhere, you know, better, you know, longer value bets, is because backing a 4-1 guy is not exciting. You don't get a big rush out of that. But we'd fall into that trap and we lose money because of it. So, I mean, I think we should get like an honorable mention at Sports Day. Like, oh, they tried really hard, but they ultimately they like face planted. So.
Well, but I think I'm away at the Tour Championship, but I'm going to do all of the detailed review. But now it's 30 holes. What I might do is do all of the detailed review, give it to Paul, and then say, right, here's a paragraph, 12 points or whatever the number is, win only, Scotty Scheffler, and just leave it at that. And what price is he going to be at the Tour Championship? Like, it'll be like, 2-1? 5-2? In a 30-man field?
Short field, it's probably going to be sub 3-1, yeah.
We caught back Scotty there, and he'll win by 7 shots, and everyone will be happy. He wins 1 in 3, chaps. In fact, it's not even that. He's now won 12 of his last 32 starts. That's a 38% success rate, starting with the 2024 Arnold Palmer Invitational. And, of course, don't forget, he's finished T2 in a further 3 of those 32. So, basically, he's been right in the mix on 15 of his last 32 starts. Every 1 in 2, he's given you a run for the actual title. Mm. That's crazy, crazy. 1 in 2.
He's as exciting as a treasury bond. You're not going to get all amped up over it. This is all Rory's fault for giving him the early nudge to go to a mallet putter. He was in the horrors of the putter. Now, ultimately, going to putting coaches, he'd have tried the mallet putter, but it's nice to have like a little, damn it, Rory, why did you say that? Yeah. I remember thinking it as soon as he said it. I was like, oh, this is not going to end well.
and suddenly he's gaining 8 strokes with a putter. He's just, the numbers say it all, don't they? So just reading some of the fallout from the Open, and of course, that was his fourth major. 20 wins in, 80-odd events. So that's kind of comparable to Tiger when he was mopping up in the just after the turn of the century. And if you look at it from, I know the OWGR has its challenges, but if you look at it from just a raw numbers perspective, he's hitting the kind of numbers that only Tiger has hit historically in terms of world ranking points and kind of aggregation of those points over a period of time. So the comparisons are going to continue to be made about how Scotty's career will unfold from here, what he can achieve over the next few years. Because if he stays fit and continues to putt well, then there's a lot of records that he can aim for, I think.
Mm-hmm. Rory had a similar start to his career in terms of how quickly he peeled off his first 4 majors. So now we're at a very interesting comparison point, and to see what happens to Scotty from here. It's at this stage, it's not just like a hot streak. He is this good.
Yes.
So it's going to be, for the foreseeable future, it's going to be surprising to see a year where he doesn't win a major.
Mm. Yeah, in any given
season. Because if he's in contention 1 and 2 tournaments, and he's so good at closing.
Oh, you give him a 54-hole lead, Barry. it's just inevitable. He just doesn't relinquish it.
Was it KJ Choi did that to Tiger? Was the first to kill Tiger's 54 hole lead record?
Y.E. Yang, wasn't it?
What? Sorry, thank you. Forgive me for that. Yeah, we need a modern day Y.E. Yang to just break that duck.
We're going to have to wait a few months now. Let's talk about some of the places quickly. Harris English in second. Do you see Harris winning a major soon? And what would it be?
Very impressive. He's super golf. Playing some good stuff.
And he does perform at majors, doesn't he? I could see him winning the US Open. I don't think he's long enough for a PGA unless it's a very short course, which isn't the PGA of America style. I don't think he's a Masters winner. But I could definitely see a US Open or another Open Championship for England.
Mm.
Yeah, get one with the dimensions are right for him. And then playing well enough, right now, as to what that looks like in best part of a year's time, remains to be seen.
Our podcast favourite, Chris Gotterup, or shall I say Barry's podcast favourite, Chris Gotterup, with a third place finish and now charging up the Team USA Ryder Cup standings. And then tied fourth. Clark, who again is scrambling to get into the Ryder Cup. I don't think it will be visiting Oakmont anytime soon. Matt Fitzpatrick, it was great to see him right in the mix. We've been over him like a rash for the last few weeks. And of course, none of us were on him when he finished fourth at the Open and was in the final group Saturday. But maybe the story of the whole tournament, Hao Tong Lee. Now, Paul, one of your favourites, you must have backed him at least 10 times this year. And did you have a penny on him for the Open?
Well, no, I'd backed him at the Scottish Open.
Ah, of course.
Oh,
yes.
No.
He missed
the cut in typical Hao Tong Lee style. So when he's going out in the final group on Sunday in the Open Championship, you're just sitting there with your head in your hands. And he was an incredible price. I think, what did I back him? 140 to 1, I think I backed him at the Scottish Open. So
he's probably 1,000 to 1. Probably 1,000 to 1, Paul.
Even with extended places, he would probably have been double that for the Open Championship. So
he made Sunday. Yeah. His energy and wearing his heart on his sleeve, he made Sunday.
Yeah. Mm. In terms of his style and the way he plays and, swashbuckling kind of attitude to playing golf, I really enjoy watching and backing Hao Tong Lee. He's just incredibly frustrating because he can be very good or very, very bad. And if you catch him on a good week, then you get rewarded for it. And that's his second, top four at the Open Championship over the years. So he can do it.
I'll tell you what, he's playing PGA Tour next season. In fact, he's playing PGA Tour this week.
Yes.
But he's now number one in the qualification race from DP World Tour into PGA Tour. Takes that mantle over Marco Penge and Christopher Reitan. It's three of our favourite DP World Tour players all off to the States.
Yeah. Oh, look, and there'll be some tournaments, there'll be some courses that he does well on. And what's really impressive with Hao Tong Lee is that historically he's been... you talk about JT having a destructive drive. There've been incredibly destructive drives with Hao Tong Lee. Yeah, if you watch that Open Championship, he was... really good from tee to green and with his approach shots. There was so much to like. He just doesn't do it each and every week. It's just one of those players you almost need to just suck it up and back blindly and know that there's going to be a lot of missed cuts in there. But when he puts it all together on any given and almost any random week, then he contends and can win.
Lee Penge, Reitan Kanter, and John Parry, who had a great Open as well.
Yeah,
so they're the top five that look like they might be heading over in 2026 to the PGA Tour. I'll give you a quick update on Ryder Cup while we're talking after the last major. There's been some movement on Ryder Cup qualification. Scheffler, Xander. He's going to win soon, isn't he, Xander? You can see that coming.
Yeah.
JJ Spawn, Russell Henley, Bryson and Harris English jumps into the auto spots at six. Thomas, Morikawa, who's all over the place, Griffin, Bradley, did all right for an open, Keegan, wasn't he? He was kind of fringy top 12 for a period of time with a man with a terrible open record. Maverick McNeely, who keeps getting these backdoor top 25s. Brian Harman. You said at one point, Paul, that Brian Harman was going to win the Open. I saw a WhatsApp message.
something about cornflakes, wasn't it?
He was playing some good stuff again, wasn't he? He was in the mix for a while until the Scotty Show really.
Until he pulled off a mask like Scooby-Doo style, and it was actually Scotty Scheffler was going to do that to everybody's cornflakes.
Listen to these guys just outside, though. Novak, 13. Cantlay, 14. Burns, 15. Clark, 16. You are going to get some very disappointed names in that 7 to 12 bracket that don't get a pick. You can just see it coming a mile. There's no way they're not picking Patrick Cantlay.
Well, no.
The man that basically demanded that they all get paid at the Ryder Cup. I mean, he's got to be in the team, surely.
Wyndham Clark's interesting because he has shown some snippets of form. And he started off with a 76 last week and came through and finished, was it tied fourth in the end? Everyone was talking about Bryson and how he opened the 78 and got through to the position he did, which was top 10 or thereabouts.
Seriously impressive.
It is, yeah. I mean, that was impressive, but, you know, it's almost gone under the radar compared to Bryson that Wyndham Clark wasn't dissimilar. Staring a miscut in the face and then to pull it round and to finish in a position like that, that shows some very strong form.
We don't like talking about Wyndham Clark, so that's why, and nobody does. That's why it wasn't mentioned.
If you were Ben Griffin or Maverick McNeely, you know you've got to do something significantly massive in these playoffs coming up. Otherwise, you're going to get a Cantlay or a Clark or a Scotty Scheffler's best mate, Sam Burns, captain's pick over your head.
Yeah.
And it does still throw in there, is Keegan going to pick himself when you've potentially got Burns needing a pick, Clark needing a pick, Cantlay needing a pick? So, there's fun and games there. Fair play to Harris English. He's got himself into that top six position. And you get the feeling he's been played so well this year that he'd get a pick anyway. I mean, would you pick at the moment Harris English or Colin Morikawa? And if you weren't picking on name value?
It's 10 out of 10 Harris English right now for how he's playing versus how Morikawa's playing.
Exactly.
Just right this moment. But there are a few weeks for Morikawa to figure it out.
Yeah. A lot of big points to be played for. Right, so Team Europe, McIlroy, McIntyre up to 2. Fleetwood at 3. Hatton 4. Shane Lowry 5. Sepp Straka at 6. Rasmus. He was fighting at the Open with his brother. They both top 20'd. Justin Rose, Ludwig, Victor Hovland, Thomas Dietrich, Matt Wallace. And then 13 is now Matt Fitzpatrick. And of course, we know for a fact that John Rahm will get an automatic pick. So this Fitzpatrick surge. Paul mentioned off mic, and it's very, very true. I noticed this last night as well, that Matt Fitzpatrick is a entry now for the Wyndham Championship next week. And with his RBC Heritage win in South Carolina at Harbortown, you'd have thought that Sedgefield will be like a match made in heaven for Fitzpatrick.
Mm. He's only played once from what I could see, but it was it was a middling kind of finished, 30th in that kind of bracket.
You've got Dietrich in 11 and 12 Wallace. Those guys have got to, they've got to do something very, very quickly, or clearly Rahm's going to get picked up above them. And you would suspect that US Open champion from a few years ago, Matt Fitzpatrick, is going to get picked above both of them as well. Am I talking out of school, or is that logical?
I think... Current trajectory, he's going to get into the points if he keeps playing the way he currently is. But even just on recent form, like you're going to put, you're going to pick him ahead of Dietrich and Wallace.
Yeah, Luke Donald's almost one of these captains who turn around to these guys and say, look, three doesn't go into one spot here. So out of you guys, one of you can potentially get a pick here, but go out and win a tournament. Or show me, prove to me that you should be picked.
Turn up at the Belfry. We'll have a playoff between all three of you.
Well,
72 holes. Whoever gets the shortest number or the smallest number of shots, you're on the Ryder Cup team.
Do you think? Do you think there's any world in which he doesn't pick Justin Rose?
No, he's in.
Yeah, probably.
Second at the Masters, mate. Needs experience on the team. Yeah, Rose is in. I mean, Rasmus hasn't been sparkling. No one mentions the fact that Ludvig's been pretty poor for the last 3 months, but he's clearly going to get a pick. Victor, yeah, he's been mixing it at very high levels just and has won a tournament in the States this year. It's, I mean, the two that stick out like a sore thumb are Dietrich and Wallace, aren't they? And we know that Rahm's going to get a pick, so...
Yeah. I mean, I right now, it, that right now, Matt Fitzpatrick gets that spot for me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the...
Rahm and Fitzy get in there at the last, those, into those two. And
unless the wheels complete, unless the wheels completely fall off Rasmus... How can he? I mean, he's seventh in the standings. I know that's not an automatic pick, but it's a difficult conversation when you're saying, well, actually, Rasmus, I know you finished seventh or eighth in the points qualification at the, you know, but I'm picking everyone else above you. Yeah. You can't have that conversation with Dietrich or Wallace, though, can you? Because they're clinging on for grim death at the bottom of those top 12.
One of those two has got to win a tournament this side of the Ryder Cup.
I think
to stand a chance.
I think so. You never know with Matt Wallace, he might do it.
Well, this is the point, isn't it? When the, you know, when the carrot's dangled there, when the gauntlet's thrown down by the captain and says, go out there and show me what you can do. He's done it before. He has that in his locker. He is that intense kind of player.
He didn't do it on Sunday on a flat, calm day and shot 75 at the Open when he had a chance to jump up the leaderboard.
No. Like,
that's the inverse of what you need to do.
Yeah. Fair comment.
It's not a good day. Like he goes and shoots a 68 or 67 and he's 9 under and he's got his, you know, he's got his top 10.
Yeah, and you can say the same about a lot of players, can't you?
Sure. You know, I'm just gonna pick on him because you're defending him. So
Yeah.
Well, that's the game.
We know that you're Matt Wallace homeboy, Paul. That's the thing.
I would love to see Matt Wallace play a Ryder Cup at some point because I think the intensity that he brings would be good.
I think that would be fun. He'd end up in a fight with somebody, but I think it would be fun.
Yeah, with Ludvig, I mean, he made a quad on Sunday on the back nine. You take that away, he's, you know, he's there or thereabouts with the places, and you'd class it as a strong performance. So, as always, the it's the finest of lines, finest of margins in this game.
So, if with the teams, as we've just discussed them, we're going to their backyard in Bethpage. They're favourites, but do you feel like our team is stronger?
Tough question.
It's a tough question. I think it gives me the impression that it's going to be far closer than we might expect. A Ryder Cup to be when we go to the States. So if that's the case and it's exciting and you know, comes down to the wire, then I think as a spectacle that'll be great to see. I think depth in the European squad.
A few weeks ago it felt so strongly in our favour. But you know, in the last while Xander shown a bit, you know, started to be Xander again.
Yeah.
You know, Bryson's still playing really well. Henley's fine. Harris English is really kind of solidified. So you're going to go, okay. JT's having a really good season. So all of a sudden you put a crowd behind them, you go, okay, well, don't feel as confident as I did about Europe a few weeks ago. This happens every Ryder Cup, though, doesn't it? You kind of wildly go between we're going to win by a mile to, like, they're going to smash us over in the few months coming up to it.
Yeah, and the issue is that you've got Scottie Scheffler there that, you know, you, how many points would you give him at this point in time out of five?
He'll probably win seven.
Him and Sam Burns, they're going to win four or four in their matches. You've got Burns' amazing putting and Scotty just sending it in there to 4 feet. Go on, Sam, bang that in. What price are we going to get on Xander to win the St. Jude Championship in a few weeks, Tom? He finished second there last year.
I put a note in my phone the other day just saying auto bet Xander for everything until the Ryder Cup. Now, I might not completely that, but it does like there's a win's going to pop.
We need to start doing more of this, chaps. Just literally, you have a view a few weeks in advance and just that's it, done. Don't get stuck in all the stats and the rubbish. Xander's going to win either the BMW or the FedEx St. Jude, isn't it? It's obvious.
Yep.
Scotty has a bit of a quiet week. He's just won the Open. Dangerous statement there. He'll probably will come in and win by it. He'll win in a playoff from Xander.
We'll have to just bookmark that statement from you, Steve, so we can go back and record it and replay it on a future pod should you not tip him for one of those two tournaments and he wins.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be tipped for St. Jude, hasn't he? Got to be. And just pray that Rory's not playing great and Scotty just decides, I'll let someone else win one.
I mean, if Xander has a peak week, like a really hot week, he can hang with Rory and Scotty on their, you know, maybe not Scotty at his peak week, but he's no slouch. He's an extremely good golfer. So you can't write it off as if it was a lucky week.
Xander's also got an amazing record around East Lake, as has Rory, as has Scotty. So that tour championship could be a fantastic 30-man tournament. Anyway, 3M Open. We're off to Minnesota, chaps. Part of America that we visit this time. It's the most northerly stop-off in the United States on the PGA Tour. TPC Twin Cities. Blaine, Minnesota. It's an Arnold Palmer design. Now, this golf course, to me, it looks... when you watch it and look at it, you feel like it should be sort of in Florida rather than Minnesota. There is water everywhere. I can't believe that Tony Finau actually won it. But he did. 15 holes with water in play. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's amazing, but having a look at players that have done well on Florida courses recently isn't a bad look, in my opinion. I've picked one of my players on that basis. But 7,431 yards. It's a par 71. I'm categorising it as a medium-length golf course. It tends to... 18-19 wins it. Last year, there was a lot of wind around, like the final 54 holes. We were looking at wind that was approaching 25 to 30 every day. And Johnny Vegas got to 17 under. He was 16 under going into Sunday. He almost blubbed it, you know, Johnny Vegas way, but he managed to crawl over the line. One under par on his final round. He won at 17. Lee Hodges is a bit of a misnomer, really, because he won at 24 under. You think, this is a resort golf course, yeah? But he won by 7. So second was 17 again. Finau won at 17, Champ at 15. So looking at the forecast, which would suggest there's going to be some serious deposits of rain Wednesday into Thursday morning. There has been masses of rain up here across June and also the start of July. It was raining on Saturday and Friday. I reckon we're going to have quite lush fairways, and they'll just make sure that the greens are nice and soft anyway. Wouldn't be surprised, you know, if the winning score is kind of 19, 20. I wouldn't classify it as resort. I just think it's going to be, if you can shoot straight 66s, 5 under each day, you're going to be right up there. But there doesn't appear to be much wind in the forecast, so it's kind of different to what we saw here last year. I find it an interesting tournament, just looking at stuff like winning prices. Vegas 80-1, Hodges 90-1, Finau 14-1 favourite, Champ 150-1, Thompson 125s, and Matthew Wolf. He won the first time we came here on the PGA Tour, 2019. He won from Morikawa and Hovland and DeChambeau, who were all freshly out of, well, apart from DeChambeau, the other three were freshly out of college. Matt Wolf won 175-1. So you've basically got an average there of 106-1, and the last five renewals have been 92-1. So we've had a favourite, and then the shortest price has been 80-1. Now, when I quote Vegas at 80-1, if you were backing him eight places, you were getting 55s to 60s. So it'd have been similar with Hodges, I'd have thought. Eight places, you'd have been looking at 66 or 70-1. 90-1 would have been in a place like a BetVictor or a Unibet or something with less places. But yes, I don't think it's a bad idea to be digging under the surface and finding some players deeper in the market, potentially. And the other thing I noticed here is, you know, Vegas, 20th at the John Deere Classic, 25th at the Rocket. Lee Hodges missed the cut at the Open, 12th at the Scottish Open. Finau, 28th at the Open, 13th at the Travelers. Cameron Champ, 11th at the John Deere Classic, missed the cut at the Rocket. It's not exactly screaming people that are coming in here finish second at the Open Championship or fourth at the Open. It's kind of those that have been just fringy around the tops of leaderboards. And I know for a fact that Johnny Vegas, John Deere Classic, so he hadn't played the ISCO, he hadn't played the Barracuda, none of the alternate events. He clearly hadn't travelled to the UK. But he'd been 12th after 54 holes at the John Deere Classic. It's that kind of scenario. Players that are playing well, but haven't really shown themselves. Obviously. In their sort of last couple of outings. That's why you're getting players that are at these price points, aren't they? Ultimately, though, I read a lot of comments here saying that this is really a ball strikers golf course, and if you're confident arriving here with your driver, where you can hit it straight, not hit the water a lot off the tee, and even better, if you can hit it long and straight, you're in a great scenario. One against that, of course, Michael Thompson's won around here, as has Lee Hodges. So it does give hope for the shorter sorts that actually have a good week off the tee and also get their irons into real firing mode and spot, you know, players that can putt. The interesting number I found here, I just need to open the spreadsheet because I haven't been organised and opened it before we pressed the record button. So bear with me. The thing I found interesting here is the amount of strokes that players that have won here have gained with the putter. I mean, Cam Champ in 2021, he's crazy. He only gained 4.1 with the putt with tee to green, and he gained 8.5 with the putter. So that tells you, hot putting week, Cam win around here. Tony Finau the year after was completely antipathy of that, amazingly enough, with Tony Finau. He gained 16.7 strokes from tee to green and only 0.8 with the putter. So work that through. He basically gained 0.2 with the putter each and every day, but his tee to green game was on a different world at 16.65, wins the tournament. So that's basically telling you that, well, it's not telling you a lot, is it? You can either be literally brilliant with the putter and win it that way, or you can be brilliant tee to green and have a neutral putter and still win. And then the other ones, Hodges and Vegas. Hodges going 6.2 with the putter. And even Johnny Vegas. Now, we know with Johnny, team no putt. Yeah, you put him in there, wouldn't you? Even Johnny gained 5 strokes with the putter when he won last year. So you can't have a negative putter and win here. You've got to make at least be neutral with the putter and be brilliant from tee to green, or be a lot more positive with your putter, and you can take a little bit of stress off the tee to green game. If the actual split across those four is 67% tee to green, 33% strokes gained putting, and that is literally the same metric as we saw a couple of weeks ago at the John Deere Classic. Literally the same mix. With the kind of winning scores, yeah, I get that. This course is longer, but you kind of get those vibes. Anything you want to add? Have I covered enough before we go into our selections? Anything else you want to know? Or just, it's going to be bloody hot as well. 86 to 93 Fahrenheit, 30 to 34 degrees Celsius. I will be categorising this very much as a humid golf tournament. It's going to be roasting.
The only other bit that I picked out of your preview, which I thought was interesting, was the fairway widths. And I know you go back and historically list them so we can have a comparison between courses. What got me with the Twin Cities is that it seems to open up the further you hit it down the fairway. So from 300 yards, it's kind of 30, 31 yards wide. And then if you're getting into the 350 bracket, it opens up to 36, which in comparison to a lot of the courses they've played in relatively recent times is fairly wide.
Yeah.
So I can see why players who do hit it a long way and have some control over that can succeed here.
Yeah.
So you are going to get a mix of players that can win this, and shorter types who can find, you know, a lot of fairways, a lot of greens and putt well, or the bombers who do get their drives down there and are attacking these pins with really, really short clubs. So
when I looked at Lee Hodges, I think he was around about the 100. He was literally just sub-average in terms of his driving distance, all drives. And then Michael Thompson, you're talking like 130s, 140 position.
Yeah.
So as long as you're short and straight and then just clearly from the fairway, literally have a fantastic week with your irons and the putter. It's not really... you're struggling to rule anybody out, even like, not that he's playing... But potentially, even like a Brian Campbell sort that won the John Deere Classic, it was immaterial. He was banging it 278 off the tee. With irons and putter, you're just in it. It's hard to rule anybody out just looking at who can win around here. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I get that.
Anything else of interest? Data golf rankings. I've started to look into them, Barry. They're now included on my... I've got OWGR and Data Golf now every week. Vegas was 136.
This is huge.
I know. I love it. Vegas 136. Hodges 94. Finau was 12. Cam Champ 244. It's not really telling us a great deal. Although Cam Champ, I'd be interested to see. I wouldn't be surprised if Paul's put him up this week. I tell you the ones that I missed out on. Here are the ones that I'm starting to put this now. Cam Champ. I had a great look at him. Jacob Bridgman. He's due a win soon, I think, Bridgman. Jesper Svensson, who finished like a train last week at the Open. Yeah. And I think Matty Schmid could go well again this week. He was 17th at the Scottish Open. He made the cut last week. Now, Matty Schmid and Royal Portrush, that is not a marriage made in heaven. But here, well, I think he's got a top 7 finish already. I could see Schmid going well. I put none of them up, but I know from Paul's reaction, I think he might have included at least one of them in his tips. Right, I'll tell you where I'm starting. I'm starting with the favourite. When I wrote the tip, I didn't think he would be favourite, but as the prizes came out, they were. I've gone, just keep it simple. I think he's playing great golf. He's due a win soon. He was winning the US Open for 54 holes. He almost won at TPC Toronto, which I think, you know, isn't going to be too bad a comp test, Toronto, because that was really wide off the tee and allowed those with strong driving to kind of get to the front. I've gone for Sam Burns. So 14-1 I got with Ladbrokes. All of mine were with Ladbrokes. They had some great prices this week in 10 places each way. So fair play to Ladbrokes. I filled my boots with Ladbrokes. 10 places each way, I've got 14-1 with Sam Burns. I know it's boring. I know a lot of people will say, how can you be putting him up at that price when Wyndham Clark's 9 points bigger and just coming off a fourth at the Open? Get all that. The thing that I did think about Burns at the Open Championship, and again, I don't think Royal Portrush is a course made in heaven for a Sam Burns. But we know with Sam, when he does win, it tends to be on shorter to medium length courses. He does like a 17 to 20 under kind of winning total. But last week, this was what grabbed my attention. He was fifth for total driving, fifth for total accuracy. He was hitting tons and tons of fairways. He was first for ball striking and eighth for greens in regulation. So old traditional, old fart stats, he was really, really strong. And I just think that Burns is due a win. And it could be one of these tournaments where you just have to hold your nose and he gets it out of his system. He gets his next victory and we all move on. I genuinely think that if Burnsy shows anything over the next few weeks, he will get onto the Ryder Cup team because everyone knows it's Scotty's best mate and Scotty likes to be paired with him. And I thought whatever Scotty asked Keegan for, he's going to get it. Unless Sam's going in with form of miscut, which I don't think he is because he's trending, as we know. So
yeah.
I'm on Sam Burns at the top, 14-1 favourite. From that point on, I have selections of, just to put my draw a line in the sand, I've got 30-1, 33-1, I've got 35-1, and I've got 66-1. So, where are you guys chiming in at? Paul, where are you chiming in at?
I've got one 35-40 kind of bracket, one at 50-66, depending on how you play it, and then a couple of three-figure chances after that.
What about you, Barry?
I love how we're pretending to be organised when we're discombobulated after the Open. Okay, here we go. So I'm on Ricky, top 10 in tee to green, playing good golf. Let's just go, can he pluck off one of these not elite field events? Needs a win. Golf is good. Let's see. Next
one,
gone
for. He's been trending slowly, isn't he, Ricky?
He has been playing okay.
He's managed to scrape himself into the top 63. He's just inside that top 70 now. A good week this week, and he's guaranteed playoff golf.
See, it helps.
Which wasn't the case when he got on the private jet to the UK a couple of weeks ago.
I mean, the few kind of sponsors' invites to get four rounds in the signature events like helped. You know, just helps remind you you're up at, you know, you were up that level before, and maybe you can get there. So, what, two missed cuts in his last eight events? 15th, 16th, 7th, 36th, 18th, 14th. Just decent signs of life there.
Yeah.
And then I backed Sam Burns a couple of weeks ago and he was terrible. So I've just mothballed him. He's on the X list. Like, no, gone. Just wanted to get that statement out there. So good luck with him, Steve. He'll probably win or else you might be considering a post-it note of doom for him.
Yes, that's very true. I could see a 77 on Thursday and then he shoots 54 holes with the best anyone in the field and finishes tied ninth. He wouldn't be tied ninth, would it? Because I'm on in 10 places, tied 11th.
That'd be great entertainment for all of us. The other one I've gone for is Jake Knapp. Smash it off the tee, loads of space, and see if Knapp can do what Knapp needs to do. Can go low, as we've seen. So it's about getting a bit of hypnosis on Saturday night to make him think it's not Sunday when he's going out to play Sunday.
You'd want him five off the lead, wouldn't you, going into Sunday?
or 15
And then he just
ahead.
Literally has that 62 on Sunday and comes from 10 groups back.
Certainly seems to feel the pressure on Sundays. So he's human, and that's what makes him so easy to root for.
Is that your selection, Paul?
Jake Knapp, yes. Yeah, no, look, Jake, yes, for me, Jake Knapp's better the week for me. There's plenty to like. And just to build on what Barry said, if you look back through his history, he won the CRMC Championship on the Canadian Tour back in 22, I think it was. I've not got it noted here. He shot 64, 65, 61, 64. That was in Minnesota. He finished fourth recently at the Rocket. That was in Detroit. Florida form you talked about. Fourth and sixth at PGA National. He shot 59 there. He does, doesn't he? Shot 59 there this year.
He contended at the Players, mate. Now, Jake Knapp at the Players, the way that he drives the ball, I think he finished 12th around Sawgrass. But he clearly likes a course that's framed by water.
He likes to shape. He likes to move the ball both directions, Steve. He likes to shape shots. And Sawgrass asks you to shape shots in both directions. So it probably engages his shot picture kind of thing. I wish I had a better way to say that. But it just engages that part of his brain to move the ball around.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's kind of a muscle memory kind of thing, isn't it, where it's it feels comfortable, feels normal. And some players play well in tree-lined on tree-lined courses for the similar kind of reasons. They like to use
focuses,
the trees to...
Shot picture gets focused gets very clear.
Absolutely.
Barry, you've just reminded me of something that happened a couple of weeks ago. Andy Lack said to me on his podcast, Steve, the course that I think in America that marries up to Royal Portrush the most, and he said, you'll think I'm crazy, it's TPC Sawgrass. And you're like, okay. And it's like, Scotty Scheffler, the first man to defend the Players' Championship, then goes and wins the Open at Portrush. It's these little nuggets over time that... That beat you up, isn't it?
Eventually. But there's so many holes. Portrush moves so many holes both directions.
Yeah. His point in totality,
It's the same kind of idea is there on the course. You have to work the ball both ways.
And you've got to be straight off the tee. So you two are both on Knapp. He did cross my mind, it has to be said. Wasn't he like in the top four at the Scottish Open?
Yeah, he was third
in fell away
Sunday,
on Sunday,
Yeah, and this is just to Barry's point. His Sundays haven't been great, but we do know he can do it. He's done it on the PGA Tour. He's won three at Corn Ferry or at Canadian Tour level, lower levels in the past anyway. So he can go over the line. He played here last year. He withdrew after three rounds with a shoulder injury, so I think we can just put a line through that. That wasn't indicative of what he can do here. I think the course really suits him. I think it'll go well. As I say, bet the week for me, Jake Knapp.
Steve, just explain this to us, right? He's second in your strokes gained total running count for the last eight tournaments. How does he not get in there? And just bear in mind, so for context, Sam Burns is fifth, but Knapp you could get at twice the price of Burns.
And the rest.
I'm just curious. Do you love Sam?
Maybe it was too early in the morning. I think the 10 to 4 alarm call clearly discombobulated my mind. But then I could say that every week. So
yeah.
Maybe that's why I can't pick winners. I need to start getting up later in the day and coming out with my tips on a Wednesday rather than a Monday morning. You might have hit the nail on the head here.
We might be cursing Knapp when he goes into Sunday like one off the lead and then...
Think about Knapp. He also fits this narrative of not having... He's been there or thereabouts narrative, yeah? He fits that like a hand in a glove. You got to say, he's a great selection. So I thought one of you would be putting him up. The only thing that did put me off, and this is the reason why, and this is the reason that will clearly, be the reason I don't pick him when he wins... is because a lot of his strokes gained have been with the short game and the putter. And then you'll say to me, well, yeah, but then you've clearly got Cameron Champ that won here gaining nine strokes with a putter. So it's all the same, isn't it? 4-21-22. You'd look at that post event and go, oh, yeah, Jake Knapp was kind of right on the formula. 27th in Canada as well. Where he was sixth. Sixth heading into Sunday.
Yeah, as I say, third into Sunday at Renaissance as well. So he's been right in the mix.
He just needs this immersion therapy, Paul, where he just has too many Sundays and he freaks out so much that he finally becomes desensitized to the Sunday pressure.
I've gone for a similar kind of player. This guy is my FOMO bet. And we've been following him on this podcast for week after week after week after week. And then he played the ISCO a few weeks ago, the second division tournament. He was the favourite and then got absolutely blasted. Everyone was backing him and he finished 12th. I was literally, Jake Knapp was kind of in my peripheral vision, but all I could see was the name Michael Thorbjørnsen. So I'm on him at 33-1, 10 places each way with Ladbrokes. Because I'm scared that I'm not on Michael the week he actually breaks his maiden and wins his first PGA Tour title. I think his numbers are very, very good at the moment and he's just due a victory. You mentioned about Knapp, but this guy as well, fourth at the Travelers when he was an amateur. Fourth at the Rocket Classic, Detroit. You mentioned that with Knapp. Second at the John Deere Classic in 2024. So he clearly plays well upstate. He's driving the ball nicely. He was 10th for total driving, 6th for ball striking, and 9th for greens and regulations at that ISCO. And that was your typical, I'm a favourite and I'm kind of not used to it. I will throw in a very sluggish opening round. And from that point on, he just started cruising up the leaderboard when he knew he couldn't win it. So I think just deeper down the betting and with barely any expectation on him this week, or not as much as walking in as the favourite in a really weak field, I think I'm hoping Thorbjørnsen goes really well.
It's a good shout.
Have you backed him recently, Thorbjørnsen? I know Paul has at some point.
I did the week when everybody had Michael Thorbjørnsen fever.
Yeah, at the ISCO. It wasn't. Yeah, it was the ISCO, yes.
Yeah.
I've also got Davis Thompson at 30-1. These are all with Ladbrokes 10 places. He's another one. He was leading at the John Deere Classic heading into Sunday. He was the defending champion there. It all got too much for him, but just scratched the surface with him. Yeah, he missed the cut last week. Who cares? He was on the private jet Friday night, so he's back in the States quicker. But he is another that's trending very, very nicely, Davis Thompson. And he clearly got his first victory on bent grass greens. These are bent grass greens this week. I forgot to say that in terms of the agronomy, which is unlike me. Fifth at the Shriners last year. Can pick his way around these kind of courses. Hasn't played here, so no history. Doesn't overly concern me. 10th at the Players this year. He's played in that top 50 level from last year, so he's played a lot of these elevated events. 13th at Torrey Pines, 10th at the Players. He's had top 30 finishes at the RBC Heritage, the Truist, and the Travellers. Weaker field. He's also 72nd in the FedEx Cup. So as it stands, he's not making the playoffs. And I think that's Thorbjørnsen's in the 80s. You got two players there really, really hungry to make sure they get to the to Memphis in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm on those. And finally, in that kind of range, again, I just can't look away from this guy's tee to green numbers recently. They've been fantastic. 35-1, Ladbrokes, 10 places. Kurt Kitayama. He's got a third at PGA National in 2022. And as we know, his one and only PGA Tour victory came at Bay Hill in 2023 in a stacked, elevated event. Also second at the CJ Cup. I remember that, Congaree. Now, Congaree has 10 holes with water in play. So again, Kitayama, another one that seems to like these golf courses where water frames the holes. He was sixth here 12 months ago, Kurt Kitayama, and he's 110th in the FedEx Cup. He's way off Memphis at the moment, but he's trending. So I've gone for Kurt Kitayama. He was fourth at the John Deere Classic a couple of weeks ago. And he was 14th last week at the Barracuda. I think he shot one of the best rounds on Sunday. So hits here with a bit of momentum. I've got one more. 66 to 1. I'm quite excited about the 66 to 1. But where are you guys coming in at now? Paul.
Yeah, well, you guessed it earlier, Steve. Cameron Champoff backed. Opened at 66 to 1, which I thought was pretty dismissive, really, because he does love this place. There's a little bit of 60s out there. Generally, if you take an extended places, you're looking around 50, 55, that kind of number. But
yeah,
very backable from an each-way perspective. Won this back in 2021, 16th 2022, 12th last year. So has some follow-up form here as well. And he was in far worse form coming into those last two attempts than he is currently. Opened with a 66 or thereabouts, depends how you read the numbers, from the Barracuda last week, and then missed the cut at a poor second round. So he's had a week off, or weekend off, to prepare for this. But prior to that, 9th at the Canadian Open, 19th for the Rocket, 27th John Deere, 14th at the ISCO. So some solid results. Strokes gained positive in all categories in those most recent two efforts prior to last week's missed cut. So playing some nice stuff, Cameron Champ. I think he'll come into this full of beans. And, as I say, 66 to 1 just felt like it was the wrong price relative to the rest of the field to me. So, yeah, Champ's in.
We're slowly but surely ticking off all likely winners here. It's great, isn't it? Individually. Champ, I wouldn't put you off Champ, clearly. What about you, Baron?
Went for one more, just came across a Twitter thread mentioning
you're 300. You're not going for Matty Schmidt?
No.
Your old mucker?
Nah, he disappointed me a few weeks ago, so I haven't made a decision on anything, but yeah, no.
It's dangerous.
He's in purgatory at the moment. So this Twitter thread caught my eye. They mentioned a price of 300 to 1 for each way three places. Now, I haven't gone for that bet in particular, but it got me having a look. And this guy has finished 4th and 8th his last 2 weeks. And he was 24th here last year. David Skins. So I didn't do any more digging than that. I just went and grabbed I went for a 10 places price on Bet365. 125 to 1.
Barry,
Paul's on him as well.
Yeah. I'll back you up again, Barry, because I'm on David Skins as well.
How old is David? How old is David Skins, and how old does he actually look?
You're asking a question. He is older than you think. I would say early 40s, 43, something like that.
I'll check 43. It out while you
43 on the button.
Is he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you say he's older than you expect, because he's been around for a while. But, yeah, as Barry said, 4th at the ISCO, 8th at the Barracuda, 9th in Canada, 8th to halfway at the Rocket Classic before he faded away there. So there's been some really positive stuff. And if you look through his history on the Korn Ferry Tour in particular, the form that he has shown at various points has tended to come in these short, sharp bursts of 6-8 weeks and then goes completely off the boil again. So it looks like he's in the middle of one of those purple patches right now. So the fact that he has finished, arguably at a lower level the last couple of weeks with these co-sanctioned events. But coming into this, it's not stellar, is it? There's scope for a player a little bit further down the list to contend and appear on the leaderboard, I think. Can go over the line as well. He's won three times on the Korn Ferry Tour. So, yeah, quite happy to take a chance on him as well, Barry. I think there's
what way did you back him, Paul? Did you go for the 300-1 with three places, or
what is the point of three places each way?
I don't know. It's a weird market.
Yeah, I can see why people go that way. I went 200-1 with six, so that was just how I chose to play. There's a lot of variance on his price, so if you're taking a lot of extended places, you may only get 100-1 on him. So you do need to pick your angle of attack with it. But yeah, I think he's worth a punt at three-figure price, David Skins.
Here you go. I'll add a layer to you. Two of those three Corn Ferry victories came at Indian Creek Golf Club, the Pinnacle Bank Championship. And that is in Nebraska, which isn't a million miles away from Minnesota. So clearly likes the geographical climbs, likes the agronomy. Does work. Interesting. So you're done with David Skins, yeah, Baron?
Done with David Skins. And just FYI, Nebraska to Minnesota is 627 miles. So it is in the middle of the USA.
It's a Midwest state. You're being facetious. So he hasn't won in Florida or the Bahamas.
The coffee has kicked in, Steve.
I kind of get the geography. He's not a million miles away.
No.
They're only separated by Iowa, but what's a few hundred miles between friends? Over in the States, they drive that, and that's like going to the supermarket.
Yeah, it's a little road trip.
I can see all this abuse coming on X and on YouTube from all of our American.
I tried to save you, Steve.
I've gone for what I thought Paul might sniff around this chat, but Matt McCarty. I've got him at 66-1, 10 places each way with Boyle Sports. Now, McCart is interesting. He won three Corn Ferry titles last year in just six events span. And three of those Corn Ferry victories were in Missouri, Nebraska, both in the Midwest, and Idaho. And they were all on bent grass-based greens. Then, of course, he came over to the PGA Tour. You might remember, it was that Black Desert Championship. We'd never seen the course. Da, 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 da. A lot of people backed him. And it was only his third PGA Tour start, and he took that out with absolute aplomb. Bent grass greens, wide golf course. And I was just scratching with McCarty. He's been playing quite well and sort of just there or thereabouts. 14th at the Masters on debut. I'll repeat that. 14th at the Masters on debut. Wow. 15th at the Byron Nelson, bent grass greens. 4th at the RBC Canadian Open. We've referenced that at Toronto. Mid sort of length golf course, very wide fairways. That kind of stacks up nicely. And then he's had top 22 results across both the Rocket Classic. He was 19th in Detroit. And the Scottish Open, 22nd. That there is the kind of form that reminds me a bit of Lee Hodges. And he's kind of Lee Hodges' build, if you look at him as a player. He's not the longest off the tee. He's around about the 100 off the sort of driving distance, all drives, like that. He's straight, like that. But McCarty's game is all pretty much half-decent irons, but he's fantastic when he gets around or on the greens. He's a superb putter. And it's just obvious. Four wins in 10 outings late last year. Three on the Corn Ferry, one on the PGA. All on bent grass-based greens. So I'm just hoping McCarty has a good week here. So he was my one at 66-1. Matt McCarty. You've got one more, haven't you, Paul, at triple digits?
Yeah. McCarty's interesting, actually.
You wouldn't pick him on stats in a million years. You just wouldn't pick him on stats. Not T to green, anyway, but you look at his short stats, they're excellent. Yeah. But he's a really streaky putter.
Yeah,
so that's the angle I'm taking on him.
Can see why you've gone down that route. The other one I've backed is Hayden Springer. You're getting 125-1 standard places, or generally around 100-1 with extended. Just kept popping on a number of the stats I was looking at, so I just bit the bullet and backed him in the end. Made 7 cuts on the spin, top 10 into Sunday on both of his last 2 starts at the ISCO and the Barracuda. Decent from tee to green at the ISCO, actually 5th for approach, 7th from strokes gained tee to green perspective. 6th after the first day here last year, open with a 66 and then drop down. But we know he can go low. I think it's going to be relatively low scoring this week given the setup, the course is likely to be quite soft. And as you said at the top of the show, Steve, it's not much wind about. So could be some low scores in the mix this week. Shot 59 at the John Deere Classic last year, so we know that he can go low. 64 in the second round last week, so in some good scoring form as well. So I think Hayden Springer's worth an each-way punt as well this week for me.
Here's the top 10 of the predictor model. I'll throw them in this week. Chris Gotterup at 1. He is literally playing this week and the Wyndham. He's like a machine, Gotterup. It's almost as if he wants to get in the Ryder Cup. 2, Kitayama. 3, Teal Bjornsson. 4, Rico Hoey. He was the 54-hole leader last week at the Barracuda. 5, Taylor Pendrith. 6, Kevin Yu. None of us mentioned him. I think he's going to be popular. 7, Clark. 8, Knapp. So that's good for you guys. 9, Hao Tong Lee. Be interesting to see how he goes in the States. Number 10, Davis Thompson. I think that's us about done, isn't it?
Yep, no more from me.
No more from us next week. No podcast. I'm away on holiday.
Yep, week off next week.
Taking in the Devon Riviera. Beautiful stuff.
Pray for some sunshine, Stephen.
It's been all right recently, but yeah, would you a bad year? Anyway, I'll be working hard anyway on Sunday and Monday to get the Wyndham Championship preview out. Paul, what have you got over here on the DP World Tour?
Well, it's Glorious Goodwood next week, Steve, so you know what that means. There's no DP World Tour event. They combine all of these blank weeks with the big racing festival.
It's true, isn't it? Cheltenham, Royal Ascot and now Glorious Goodwood.
It's uncanny. So, yes, back the week after with the Nexo Championship, which is at Trump Aberdeen. So, it's resurgence of the old Scottish Championship, effectively, but on a new course. Looks like a proper Lynxy-style course. So, that will take some digging into for the following week.
Do you think the calendar setters for the DP World Tour are massive like, racing heads?
I think they're all in the corporates, Barry. I think the bit of hospitality at Cheltenham and Ascot and Goodwood, and away you go. We'll take a blank week, lads, and go and enjoy the racing.
They must literally. They were sitting there. Right. So they'll be doing it now. 26. When's Cheltenham? When's Royal Ascot? When's Glorious Goodwood? Yeah. Okay. Well, blank those weeks out on the wall on the wall chart.
Do you know what would be great now? The week after the Open, with nothing on the DP World Tour, and we've just done a little bit of Lynx golf season, just to have like an exhibition matches on a Lynx course this week. Doesn't need to be a huge, big tournament or anything, but just, or maybe like 4 different courses and you have 8 different players. You have 2 four balls play 4 different amazing Lynx courses over the week. Something like I'd love to watch that.
Yeah, or like something like the Hero Cup, which they played at the start of the season, but do that in the summer, and gives Luke Donald another chance to have a look at some players in a relatively relaxed match play kind of format.
Yeah,
too late for that now, Barry.
Of course for that, but like even just a few of them going out to play 4 hidden gems this week, Lynx gems that you just wouldn't ordinarily see would be because you can't, they wouldn't maybe have the infrastructure space for a tournament, but something like that would be cool just to fill, just for more Lynx golf.
We should also say, actually, we've got Live Golf at the JCB Golf and Country Club in Staffordshire this week. So if you're a listener and you're disappearing to that, enjoy your LIV Golf. The reason I don't mind watching a bit of LIV Golf on YouTube is just their funky music. You can just sit there and it's like being at a, it's like being at a club, isn't it? It's just, it's all great. The golf's almost immaterial. And I thought it's like a party atmosphere at these LIV Golf events, from what I've seen. The fact that no one can remember the winner from year to year or week to week is immaterial, really. Right. I hope your bets go well, chaps.
Yeah, best of luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to listeners as well. We'll be back in a fortnight for the Wyndham, not the Wyndham Championship, it'll be the FedEx Cup playoffs. See you soon.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf.